Blog Talk Radio.
Share this show with others.
Tonight we're going to share a sermon that was part of a radio TV show of a converted Jew to Christianity. The title of our show, the sermon is Living a Repentant Life Essential for Salvation. This Jew gained notoriety and some insight that we feel is missing in the church today. Maybe not in words, but in application. Wild Bill preached a message like this in a church last Sunday. It's not one of those jumping and running in the aisle kind of messages. The scripture kept coming to mind of how God will not be mocked. This is not just a hard message to preach, but it's surprisingly hard for people who have been in church for a while to apply. We have become comfortable with a form of what the Bible tells us in these later generations since the Holy Ghost revival swept across the land in the early 1900s. As Koch used to say, do you want the real thing or are you going to be satisfied with a copy? Even they didn't understand the power of their slogan. They meant it to compare their product to the other products produced by other companies. But if you were there, we saw firsthand an application when Coke came out with the new Coke. And you can read of the history of how this just didn't fly. For the year 2016, Wild Bill believes this is the message for the church today. The question is, will you apply it? As always, we open up the mics at the end of the show so that you can ask questions or give your opinion. We hope to hear from you. And remember, these programs can be downloaded to any smart device for free. So, let's have a listen.
Well, hello, Starla, and hello to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. I want to thank you for taking your time to be with us on our show. I'm really been stirred the last few weeks, and I talked to several people about some of the things that's been bothering me, and in the spiritual warfare that we war in, I think sometimes we take that scripture where it says we battle not against flesh and blood, and we stop right there where it says we battle not, and we stop right there. We don't go to the battle against the principalities and powers that come against us. We just allow ourselves to be a punching bag. But most of our listeners come from a Pentecostal faith background. Their doctrine and what they believe comes from a Pentecostal doctrine. And one of the things about being 57 years old is you have seen things from different generations, and you get to see it as it's changing. Now, some of these changes are because you're changing and your outlook on things changes, and some things are really changing. And I was just really have been stirred when you get to looking at some of the things that I see happening in our churches today. We seem to have this mindset that because we have the truth, we've been granted the revelation as to who Jesus is, we understand the plan of salvation as it was outlined in the Bible, that we have cornered the market and we have arrived. And we sort of get this little attitude about us that we don't realize, I don't think, that we do. To give you an example of this, as you know, I drive a truck. I was in a terminal in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and right there by the time clock on the window, a driver or city worker there had put a little note on the wall right there above it where everyone had to see it. And he said hello, and he gave his name. He said, I've recently given my heart to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to be baptized in His precious name this coming weekend at such and such Baptist church there in right there. It was actually in Georgia, but right there in the Chattanooga line. And said, if you got any questions, any comments, or anything, please call me at this number. And I thought, wow, what a witness, you know, to not be ashamed and be excited about what's happening in his life. But being that we come from the truth, and I did see something there that said Baptist Church, I thought that I would have a little fun, so I called the phone number, and I took a little quote from Paul, and I said, have you received the Holy Ghost? And she believed. And he says, not yet. He says, but we're praying that when I come out of the water, that I'm going to be speaking in tongues as the evidence of God's Spirit overflowing from within me coming out. And I was like, wow. And I said, so your church is borrowing this Baptist church to perform this service? He's like, no. He said, in the last couple of months, our pastor has been given revelation that he never had before as to who Jesus is, the plan of salvation as is laid out in the book of Acts for the New Testament church, and this is what he's been teaching and preaching to everyone in his church. And as you can guess, some people were upset, but most people were so hungry that they've just so responded to it that there's been more prayer. He said our worship had already started to change. We realized that, you know, we needed to be more demonstrative in our worship. And as I'm listening to this, something kind of jumped in my heart. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, used to when people would ask me when I was a teenager, what's the main difference between your church and the rest of the churches? And I'd say, well, one of the main things is our worship. You know, we clap our hands, we leap for joy, we dance in the Spirit, we wave our arms, we shout hallelujah, we shout amen, we shout thank you, Lord, we shout praises to God. And a lot of people don't realize it, but that's happening in a lot of different denominations right now. A lot of different denominations. And you can say, well, it doesn't mean anything, because they go to that scripture where you're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. But here I just introduced you to an example of a church that started hungering for more of God, was worshiping Him in the spirit that they had of worship, in true admiration to a holy and mighty God. And then the outcome of that was is that God enlightened, took the binders away, or whatever you want to say it was, to what the Bible actually says as to who Jesus was, Emmanuel, God with us, that He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. That pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? To get that understanding, to see that the plan of salvation that's outlined in the Bible is not what they had always taught of going to Matthew and say the titles and baptize someone in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No other place in the Bible does it give you a baptism other than in the name of Jesus, where it talks about that there is remission of sins in baptism in Jesus' name. We all know that no sin is going to enter into heaven, not any. And so, as this whole thing got to stirring inside of me, and recently we were down visiting Blog Talk Mom, and I told her, I said, I'm not a puppy. You know, I'm not even a baby anymore. You know, here I'm 57 years old, and she's dragging me around through Walmart and to Subways and all these people that she's been fellowshipping and witnessing to in the workplaces, and these were not people that go to her church. And she's like, you know, hey, you know, how you doing and everything, and, you know, God bless you, and, yeah, I want to introduce you to my son. And I always pray that I learn things from my elders and from people that's been before and from people that, you know, God has wanted me to do things different than what I do. Because we all get comfort zones. We all get comfort levels that we have we don't like to cross out of. And at first I just was like, you know, man, Mom, I'm not a puppy. You know, I'm not a cute little baby anymore. You know, I'm this big old fat ball-headed man. You know, I don't really see that what's so cute. But all these people, because of the relationship that they had built with her, were so responsive. You know, one woman, you know, her face was marred, and, you know, she had teeth missing, and it was clear that she had had a very hard life. And she's like, can I shake your hand? You know, and even then I realized that it was a privilege for this person to want to reach out and shake my hand, even though they may have looked at it the other way around. Because later, as I got to thinking about this, I got to realizing where the Great Commission was, go ye therefore into all the world, not go to church with each other, show all the little nuggets that we have, and not argue back and forth about this scripture or that scripture with the people that's already in church. Go to the world. Be separate from the world, but go to the world. And I saw something there that it didn't click in me while I was there, but it clicked in me later about this is the light that we have, because our praise and worship is not just in demonstrative worship and service. It's in how we live. So you don't have to tell a moth, here's a light, go to the light, go to the light. Even though it's a bug zapper, you know, go to the light. They know they're attracted to the light. And people that are hungry in this world, they're going to be attracted to the light that lives inside of you. But if you go around and look like you've been sucking on a green persimmon, and all you're thinking about is, I got to get in here and get this, I need to hurry up and get out, because everything's hurry, 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 and it's always about me, myself, and I, we're missing something. We are really, really missing something. Now, I was asked to preach a sermon this last Sunday, and part of what God has been doing in my life has been letting me see things in people's lives. So I'm talking about things that they would not want just anybody to know. And God's been talking to me about repentance. Now, I did a search, and I've been praying. I was looking for different sermons to find someone who had to have done a whole lot better job than I did to talk about repentance in the church today. What I found was amazing of all the sermons that are out there from people talking about the fallacy of thinking you need repentance to be saved. Think about that a minute. I'm talking about most of the major doctrine churches that you can see on your street corners. We're not talking about the Church of Billy Gaboo or something like that, or some kind of, like, you know, charismatic, all is love and all is peace, and it's not one of those kind of things. We're talking about the mainstream churches that are in your towns. Do a search. Look for it. See how many of those churches are teaching, and they got several sermons that's been done in the last 2 years or 3 years where they're talking about the fallacy of needing repentance to be saved. Is that not scary? Is that not letting you know that the spirit of Antichrist is really working with all he can to twist and confuse things in the world? But see, what about those that are in the truth that think we got it all worked out? I did finally find one message, and we're going to go through this message first, and then next week I'm going to bring it home with what God gave me, because I think in the year 2016 that this is the message all churches need to hear. Matter of fact, I feel like God's given me the start of two messages of what he wants me to put together for the next time I'm asked to go preach somewhere for a 2 or 3 day revival. And these are not real uplifting messages. This was, we were late for church when I was being asked to preach because I was praying so hard for God to give me something different, because it was so in your face, harsh in a way of looking at this. We all want to take great joy in understanding that repentance is not just for the sinner, that it's for the saint. But many people don't really understand that. But anyway, we're going to bring you this message I found. Got some beautiful points in it. Some of it's from exactly the same thing that I had. And then next week we're going to follow up with this. But I'm really looking forward to your comments at the end of the show.
As you know, I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus, and when I first became a believer, I wish it was different, but I really wasn't mentored. I was almost on my own, and the only thing I really knew was the Bible. And so what did I do? I read the Bible, and then after reading the Bible, I started looking at religion, and I mean, some people would say, God doesn't heal today. And I'm thinking, what Bible were they reading? I don't understand this. And some people would say, oh, God is my buddy. Yay, God. I come from a Jewish background. God is holy. There's a reverence. Yes, there's an intimacy with him. I saw no reverence for God. It was just strapping your seatbelt and go, buddy. No, that's not the God I read about in the Old and the New Testament. And then I heard, well, once you're saved, no matter what happens, you'll always go to heaven. And if something happens, you really weren't saved. And I said, well, that's not what this book is saying. And it's too late. It's too late to tell me God doesn't heal today. I've seen too many miracles. Yeah. It's too late to tell me God isn't a holy God. He is a holy God. It's too late for you to tell me that once I'm saved, nothing can ever stop me from being saved. It's too late. But there is a spirit of delusion that is coming upon the church, and I want you warned so it doesn't touch you and it doesn't touch your loved ones. That's what we're going to talk about today. Sid Roth here with Tony Kemp, and Tony is my friend. He's a member of the board. He's a student of the Word of God, a graduate of the School of Theology. And Tony, you were telling me that in the great Azusa Street Revival, which happened in the early 1900s, there was a prophecy which appears to be talking about today, because it also is talking about Bible scripture. Tell me about it.
Well, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this is what he said. He said, the Holy Spirit is speaking in unmistakable terms about the last days, that in the last days, Sid, some shall depart from the faith. He didn't say that they would reject the faith, but they said, but Paul said that they would depart from the faith. In other words, they would gradually depart from the truth and the grace message of Jesus. And he also told Timothy in the second letter that in the last part of the last days, some would not hold on to sound doctrine. And so here's the prophecy that happened in Azusa Street between 1909 and 1910. Here's what the word said. It shall come to pass in the last days of the great Pentecostal movement, three things are going to occur. One, the people will praise a God that they no longer pray to. And remember, the Apostle Paul said, first prayers, supplications, intercessions, then giving thanks and praise and worship to the Father. The second thing he said in this prophecy is that the leaders, the ministers, the people would emphasize power instead of right living. And the third thing the prophecy said was, people will emphasize the gifts of the Spirit instead of the lordship of Jesus the Messiah. Now, Sid, do we need praise and worship in the church? Yes. But every single one of us who are disciples of the Messiah need to have a prayer life. Do we need the power of the Spirit and the demonstration of the Spirit in the church? Absolutely. But we need to practice right living every single day. Do we need the gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the glory of God? Yes, we do. But we need to do so in submission to the person of Jesus and in surrender to Jesus and in obedience to the lordship of Jesus the Messiah.
Okay, Tony, give me a short definition of the biblical understanding of grace.
Well, first of all, Paul said to Titus, he says, the grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. And first, when I look at the grace of God, I look at the goodness and the person of Jesus. But secondly, after that, I see grace as divine influence. And this divine influence causes me, Sid, when I hear the truth of the gospel, to turn from sin, against sin, and surrender my life to Jesus the Messiah. This true grace emphasizes to me the need to deny myself, take up the cross, and obey Jesus every day. In other words, true grace, Sid, produces a transformation of habits, character, and life, and causes me to become more and more like Jesus as I develop intimacy with God through Jesus the Messiah.
Okay, what is, and this is the word that God has given me, what is counterfeit grace?
Counterfeit grace, in a word, is powerlessness. In other words, if I preach a message of counterfeit grace, I say to you, come to the altar, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and God loves you. But I don't preach a message of personal deliverance, freedom, liberty, transformation of habits, character, and life. I say to you, because God loves you, you can just stay in sin. But true grace says God loves you and is going to save you from your sins and change your life progressively and completely as you submit to Jesus the Messiah.
You know, this counterfeit grace message goes so far as to say because of what Jesus did at the cross, that we don't have to repent of sin anymore once we get born again. And what about the teaching of once saved, always saved? I want to talk about that when we come back. Hello, Sid Roth here with Tony Kemp. And Tony, I don't get it. I have read, it's too late for me. I've read the Bible. I don't understand how someone can think once saved, always saved. Tell me why that's wrong.
Well, first of all, Jesus said in Matthew 24, speaking to his disciples, he says, he who endures to the end, the same should be saved. Jesus is talking to those that are his followers, his disciples, and he's saying, you must obey me to the end of your lives to go to heaven and to go to glory. In addition to that, the Apostle Paul, who was the great teacher of grace, said in Romans 11, he said, remember now, both the goodness and the severity of God. On those that sinned and fell, God's severity came upon them. But God said, on you is goodness if you continue in his goodness, meaning continue to obey the teaching of Jesus the Messiah. He said then, if you refuse to obey the teaching of Jesus to the end of your life and you backslide, he said, God will cut you off. And this is what he said, Sid. He said, if God did not spare the natural branches, take heed that God does not spare you.
That's what I was reading, and I don't understand. But unless you lift Scripture out of context and do not look at all Scripture, that's the only way you could come up with that, really.
Not only that, the apostle of love, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, God comes to John through the person of Jesus by the Spirit. And Jesus begins to talk to the church in Ephesus and says, I have something against you. You have left your first love. You've backslid. He said, repent and do your first works again. Then Jesus speaks to John about Sardis. And this is what he says. You have a name that lives, indicating at one time you were born again, you had a salvation experience. But Jesus says, you're dead. He says, you need to remember from where you have fallen and you need to repent. And then Jesus says this, you have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white. And what Jesus is saying is you have some people who are living a clean life, a holy life, a righteous life before me, and they're going to glory. Then Jesus says one other thing. He says, he who overcomes, meaning overcomes sin, because Jesus defeated sin, that same person will have their name in the book of life. But the person who surrenders to sin and does not continue to follow Jesus to the end, he said, I will blot that person's name out of the book of life.
Okay, what would you say, and I think you've almost answered the question, to those that say, yes, you have to repent when you're saved, but once you do that, since Jesus already died for all of your sins, you don't have to repent anymore.
Well, let's take a look at this, because Jesus speaks in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation to the seven churches, and to five of those churches he tells them to repent. In addition to that, you have in Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist preaching, and a sorcerer by the name of Simon gets saved. And it says there that he gets saved. Later on, Simon sees the apostles lay hands upon people, and they get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the enemy gives him a sinful thought. Ask the apostle Peter, if you give him money, if maybe you can get this power. And he approaches Peter, and this is what Peter says to him. He says, your heart is not right with God in this manner. This is what Peter says. He says, you need to repent of the wickedness of this thought and ask God to forgive you. In addition to that, John, the apostle of love in 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all that's not righteous. Now, Sid, it has been said that 1 John was written to the Gnostics, a people who taught false doctrine, but the letters were written to the church. John actually said, my little children, he said, you spiritual fathers who know Jesus the Messiah, you young men who have the word of God living in you, you've overcome the wicked one, you children, you spiritual children who know God, that's who I'm writing to. And so it is very clear that the word of God teaches us, after we get saved, we need to repent, because repentance is the method that God uses to transform your mind and my mind so that we do the will of God in a way that's acceptable, pleasing, and honoring to him.
Okay, Tony, what about someone says, are you saying to me, Tony, I have to be born again twice? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. Here's what is the truth. Jesus says to one of the churches in the book of Revelation, you were born again. But because you chose to sin, you spiritually died. And when a person repents, they can spiritually come back to life.
Some of the counterfeit grace teachers are teaching either there is no hell or there's something like a purgatory, a short-term hell, and then you go to heaven. What would you say to them?
Well, I'm listening to the apostle of love, again, John. And he says in Revelation 14, and he also says in Revelation 20, that the people who are not found in the book of eternal life, those who have repented, believed, and obeyed Jesus the Messiah, that they go to the lake of fire and they're tormented there forever.
Now, what is the lake of fire?
The lake of fire is hell. It's where everyone goes who does not obey Jesus to the end of their lives. And allow me to say this too, Sid. I want to listen to Jesus because Jesus said in Mark 9, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, if a person dies in sin, and Jesus actually says to the disciples, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, cut that sin off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Jesus said, the person who dies in sin will go into the fire that never shall be quenched.
Okay, why is he so passionate over this? Because the Bible says it. Why is he so passionate over this? Because he had a vision of the lake of fire. He had a vision of hell. We're talking about an amazing end-time move of the devil. It is one of the major heresies to ever hit the church, and it's spreading throughout Christian television and Christian radio and books and conferences. It's called the counterfeit grace message. Now, Tony, people would say, wait a second, Tony, you're saved by grace, not by works. What are you talking about?
Well, here's what I would say. I would say that grace is the influence of God in my life, the presence of God in my life, and the power of God in my life. And grace produces genuine repentance, where I bring to Jesus the fruit of repentance. Grace produces right living every day, and grace produces intimacy with the person of Jesus and with God the Father.
I like that kind of grace.
Amen. Amen. Grace is powerful. Grace causes people to be saved from their sins, delivered from darkness. Grace causes people to walk in holiness. Grace causes God to enjoy his sons and daughters, and grace enables you to enjoy God like never before.
What would you say to someone that says, but wait a second, Tony, you can't get away from God's grace?
I would say this. I would say that the Word of God states that you can fall from grace. And the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, he said, I marvel that you are so removed from him who called you into the grace of the Messiah. And he talked about those Galatian believers who decided to backslide. And he actually makes this phrase. He said, you have fallen from grace. Now listen, Sid, I'm going to listen to the Apostle Paul. I'm going to listen to Jesus, who told people that they had to obey him to the end.
Well, listen, these false teachers use the scripture. There's no condemnation. They say, let's just preach love. That's the only way people will come to know Jesus. Let's get this condemnation business gone. In fact, God says there's no condemnation in Messiah Jesus.
Well, let's talk about love. Because in the book of Revelation chapter 3, Jesus addresses the church in Laodicea. And this is what he says. As many as I love, I rebuke and correct. He said, be zealous and turn from sin. That's my first response. Here's my second response. Jesus, because he loves us, Jesus represents the Father. What father has a son or daughter that he doesn't correct or chasten or bring into character development? And so when we receive the correction of God, we receive the direction of God, and we come into character development, which is holiness.
Okay, but the scripture actually says, Tony, there's no condemnation for those that are Messiah.
Romans 1, 8 and 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death.
So they leave the last part of the verse out.
And that's what makes it a counterfeit message. Mm. Because God sent his son to condemn sin in the flesh. And when I surrender to his son, Jesus, the righteousness of the teaching, the instruction, the law is fulfilled in me as I walk in and by the power of the Spirit.
You had a vision. Multiple visions of the lake of fire, of hell. Tell me what you saw.
Well, it all began in 1989, where I had an out-of-body experience. An angel came to me and I was taken to heaven. But as I was on my way to heaven, I saw the souls of those that were departing earth, and they went into a portal toward the lake of fire. Later on, in the mid to late 1990s, I had two visions, and I saw the lake of fire, fire, brimstone. And then God Almighty took me up close to one individual who was hanging in the fire and suffering, tormented there because of disobedience and rebellion to the word of God and because they did not live for Jesus.
Please, God, please,
hell is real to you.
It's real.
Hell is real. And I'll tell you what concerns me the most, you know, Tony and audience, what concerns me the most is people that are in sin that aren't concerned about the sin that they're in. I talked to someone recently that is a homosexual, and this person didn't seem to be bothered one iota. Do you know why she wasn't bothered? She is this close to having her conscience seared. And once your conscience is seared, you cannot be convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit. The counterfeit grace message says that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you of sin under the new covenant. You just don't know the Bible. I'm concerned about you that are involved in the sin of pornography. I'm concerned about you that are involved in the sin of drugs and addiction. I'm concerned about you that are having sex outside of marriage. I'm concerned about you that are involved in the new age. Do you know how close you are to having your conscience so singed, so seared, that you won't be able to repent? But you would not be watching this show right now if you had crossed the line. Repent. The kingdom of God is now. Repentance means turn from your sin. Believe that the blood of Jesus washes you away when you repent. And turn to God for the power to be free. The Messiah says, you shall know the truth. He's a person. His name is Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Choose life. You do not know when your end will come. As smart as you are, you do not know when your end will come, and I don't want to see your conscience seared so you can't repent. It'll never be easier than this moment. Never easier than this second. Make your peace with God right now in Jesus' name.
provoking. An awesome message. Blog Talk Mom?
I really, really have enjoyed every word that was said tonight. Thank you, Sister Starla and Wild Bill, for the program. And I don't know what I expected, but it was just, it seemingly answered everything so plainly, because those are the objections we have in our own minds sometimes about repentance and about living for the Lord. And I have today, on just going to the bank and going, you know, to my regular places that I go, I have met people. In fact, a lady at the bank was in a church, and she, her husband, who really, it didn't seem like he was, he just went just to be going. And she came home from work, and he said, you know, and I don't remember exact words, but God was dealing with him, and he wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And she was listening to a song. She's a singer and writes music. And she gave me a copy of the chorus, and she said it, God just gave it to her this past week. They were talking about, you know, I guess just easy grace or counterfeit grace, like the gentleman was talking about. And the Spirit of God, she said that it was like the, all of a sudden it was just, well, you know, when God speaks to you, it's so supernatural and great, and but it was with great love. It wasn't condemnation on her or anybody. It was like love. And it we agreed that God is calling this world to repentance. He's calling now. The Spirit of God is going and wooing and drawing people to turn and to come to Him. And the chorus was, it's all or nothing. And then it repeats it. It's all or nothing. You cause us to choose in whom we will serve. Your word is the truth, and in truth there are no lies. Lord, heal our hearts and open our eyes. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it just, it's all or nothing. I mean, it just, that's just that plain. God says, you know, if we love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and love our neighbors ourselves. It's an all, no anywhere else, and it's all love. And we, as he mentioned, there are people in the Bible, one of the most beautiful stories in the Old Testament is Ruth, that followed Naomi, her mother-in-law, with no hope for anything for herself. She just loved her mother-in-law. She loved Naomi. And because of that, she was blessed immensely and became wealthy and positioned. And Jesus was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So all will reap all that we will ever need in this life. Protection, salvation, all of we can't make it without that. And God's offering that to us right now. And, it's just beautiful. I'm anxious to hear Wild Bill when he preaches on the subject. I know it's going to really be good. I had also listened to several ministers on the subject, and the ones that I listened to brought out plainly that it's a gift, it's grace, it's mercy, that we repent, that we turn. It's the grace of God. We can't do that without it, the grace of God. We can't do that without the mercy of God. And if we don't, then we are just rebelling. And it's the spirit of rebellion. It's wanting it to be our way. And God says, no, it's going to be a straight and a narrow path. Few there be that find it. But there's a broad way, and it goes to destruction. But when we choose to go that straight and narrow path, I tell you what, he's right there 24/7 with whatever we need all the time. He's a mighty God, a loving God, a wonderful God. And I've been reading it more in James, Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, all of those scriptures, and it seems like they're so alive. Like God is just speaking through them right into my heart. And when Peter had the keys to the kingdom, you know what keys are? The very first word he said, and what that when they said, "What must we do?" He said, "Repent." And so it's the message that's going out to the world now. God says, "Repent and turn to Him." Well, this is really, really good, Sister Starla. I appreciate y'all so much.
Well, we really appreciate you, Blog Talk Mom, because I don't believe this show would go on without you. I don't know how people are missing the message of repentance. They grace, 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 and they just think that grace is going to get them there, and it just so is not without repentance. God is a good and a merciful God, but God is just, and you know His word tells us, repent.
And He gives so many wonderful promises, I mean thousands of them actually, but I was reading in the first epistle of Peter, and I was reading chapter 1, and, you know, I don't know how many times I've read it and listened to it, but it was like the Spirit of the Lord led me to pray that chapter, not just read it, but to apply it, and he touched on that tonight, that you know, sometimes we sing, we worship, we read, but are we really connected? You know, are we really focused on Him? We're approaching the Creator of the world. You know, is our attitude, our position right? If we're really expecting to receive, and as I begin to pray, the third verse says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And I said, "Lord, I thank You that it's Your abundant mercy. You've begotten us. We're born again, Lord. I'm born again." Of course, my name's Lively, so, I mean, I couldn't miss that one. And it's hope. It's hope that we have for eternity, that no matter what we hurt, in this life, no matter what we lose, no matter what it's the trial of our faith many times, but we really can't lose because our hope is in Jesus, the rock, the Christ, the Savior, the lover of our soul. Oh, hallelujah. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is in Him. Great is the mystery of godliness that God was manifest in the flesh. Why? Because we had to have a Savior. There was no hope, any of us. And Jesus bore our sin and took our punishment and gave us the hope of eternity with Him. This is so good. I've sort of committed not to talk so much.
Oh, thank you. You do good. We enjoy hearing from you.
Well, if Wild Bill, and I know he always has things to say, and I had in one of my little notes that I had made that from an article that I'd read, it said when you talk about mercy and we talk about grace, we get salvation, we're justified. It's just as if we had never sinned when we repent. We're actually adopted into the family of God. We're sanctified. That means we're set apart as unto God. We are His. We are His vessel. He lives within us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're purified. And it's a daily, moment-by-moment choice whether or not we will remain purified. You know, I can be clean, but if I go out and step in mud, I'm not clean anymore. Well, spiritually, I'm cleansed, but if I'm not willing to repent, I know when I've judged somebody, or which is probably one of my worst problems, or if I've neglected prayer, or neglected my this great salvation I know. And so the Spirit of God gives me convictions, and I respond to that by repentance. And repentance is the greatest privilege that we have. He's our advocate, our high priest. He's everything. He's all in him. Does Wild Bill or anybody want to say anything?
Well, Wild Bill is on his way to work, and I think he's running late, and I'm not certain he would have signal about now. But this was a very good message, and I, too, am looking forward to next week. He did a really good job when he preached last week, but I know it was a hard message to preach. And but there were several that responded and, you know, told him that he was, how did they say it? Reading his mail? He was reading their mail.
So they
took it really well.
Well, that's good. I mean, if the person ministering doesn't have a message that can touch your heart, then it's really not really that effective. There was another scripture, and I think the minister spoke about Romans 11. I really like 11. I like all of it. But in the 33rd verse, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. In other words, he's the one. He's the source. He is the power. He is the holiness. He is God. And for us, it's all for of him and through him and to him are all things. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. In the 12th verse says, and this is what, again, about repentance. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, this is the word of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is that not awesome? You know, don't be conformed to this world. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when we repent, our mind is renewed. And that we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you just took those scriptures right there, it's just a perfect pattern and roadmap for us, every moment that we live. I love those scriptures. It talks so much about loving each other and preferring one another. And that takes the mercy of God for me. I don't know about everybody else. And the grace of God.
Yes, that is good.
That is so good. It is so good.
Well, if anybody wants to just push, we have Wild Bill with us.
All right.
Hang on a second, Wild Bill. Wild Bill?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. I can hear
I'm
you.
I'm all echoing. I'm hearing an echo. Hey, I just wanted to say I really appreciate. No, it was me. I was making fun of you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I appreciate, you know, what both of you said about this subject. And really, all this that we hear and we think about to be repentant, to start off being born again, we all have emphasis on that in our life from experience. And in our churches, we have a lot of emphasis on that for those that we see as being lost. But somehow that message just seems to have gotten, like many messages, kind of watered down in transition, translation, and application when it comes to those that are living for God. And that's the thing that God has opened my eyes to see. Because the Bible lets us know, to he that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, guess what? It's sin. He didn't say, like, whoopsie-daisy, you know, sorry about that, you know, just give me five and we'll go on from here. He called it sin. But we don't want to call it sin. We want to call it, well, I slipped and I fell. But bless God, I didn't stay fallen. I came on back up. Well, you know, there's, I think, a lot of times in our life, and I'm talking about me here, to where we let the injury of sin heal over, to where we don't see the injury anymore. But on the inside, the damage is still being done. It's still spreading an infection in the church, to where we don't have faith like we used to have. We don't really walk in faith like you used to see people doing years ago, where they used to say, honey, it's holiness or hell. You know, you can either like it or not like it, but that's just the way it is. Where we used to hear people that when there was demonic things happening in a church, where there was time stopped and there was spiritual warfare that took place. And I know we're having great moves of God in prayer rooms, and we got people that we establish those things there. But what about when you're not at church? What about the rest of the week? What about when you just get so busy that you just sort of forget that first love? I remember when Starla and I were first talking to each other, I used to read the joke section out of Reader's Digest when I didn't have anything else to say, just because I didn't want to break that connection. I had to be in connection. I wanted to be in that connection with her. Somehow I wanted to be in connection. And I thought, Lord, why is it not that in all that I do, that I don't just strive to be in that connection with you? And Lord, don't let it be because I have unrepentant sin in my life, to where if I sort of pick myself up and dust myself off. Notice I said I picked myself up and dusted myself off. And then I start praising God and worshiping God, and I start applying more of God's word to my life. But I still have unrepented sin that's there. And I want to act like that the actions after just so much just take it away, so like there never was any sin. And that's not biblical. You're not going to grow to everything you're supposed to be spiritually. You're not going to have that love one for another that God says you're going to know my people by. And that's what I want to, I don't want it to be to where I think I'm saved. I believe in faith based on the mercy and the love of God, but then once I give myself a free pass on sin, that's there. Sin is not just Ten Commandments. Sin is not all the really bad things that we want to talk about. When you know to do good and you don't do it, that's sin. I didn't say that. Heaven forbid, I don't want it to be that way. But God put that there, and the church needs to be aware. There needs to be more conviction in our churches. As I was sitting there preaching this message this last Sunday, I saw people that were playing games on their cell phone, and then they were making comments and looking at each other from one side of the church to the other. And I saw people that were sitting there passing notes and not really paying attention. And when it got really hot and heavy, when I started sharing the vision of what God showed me, a specific sin that was in the lives of people that were there, all of a sudden people just shut it off. The people that needed it the most shut it off. And I'm like, where is that spirit of conviction? Where is that drawing power? And I thought, man, just how easy it is to be in God's house week in, week out, praise and worship, sing in the worship service, maybe be part of the service itself, and not realize that your conscience has been seared over forgotten the sin that you've forgotten, but it's still a stench in the nostrils of an almighty God. So I hope everyone's really got something out of this, and I've sort of given you a little bit of a taste of what's to come next week. And if it's kind of turned you off a little bit and you don't want a spirit of conviction and you're not really worried about really putting yourself before the mirror, then you don't want to listen to next week's show. Because I do not want to fool myself. Because guess what? When you're in front of Jesus and you see those hands and you see the feet and you see the love, you're not going to be fooling yourself anymore. So dirty. You're going to be like they were in the Garden of Eden. You're going to be like, I'm naked. I'm exposed. What I am is what I am. Lord, forgive me. But it's too late now. Now's the time of your salvation, not tomorrow. We don't know. We have no promise of tomorrow. If you're hearing this, you got sin in your life, you don't have to be in no church service. God is faithful over his word to perform it in the lives of his people. He's looking to and fro. If you think Satan's looking to and fro to see who he can devour, God is there instantly to come in as the shepherd in the doorway to protect you from anything that can come against you. All you've got to do is seek him with a whole and honest heart. And that's what God's looking for. So that's all I got to say. I'm supposed to be at work right now. I'm about 5 minutes away. So, Starla, I'm going to give it back to you.
Well, it sounds like we don't want to miss next week's show, for sure. Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything else you wanted to share with us?
Well, I was just thinking over all the things that Wild Bill was saying, and it's really, I don't remember what the scripture is, but have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, it sounds harsh, but it's not harsh. It's a warning. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God that we hear. And the revelation, it said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And he's not talking about the appendage of an ear, but the heart. Will we hear? Will we be willing to listen to what God is saying and get back into the Word of God? I recommend. Oh, I have never, I don't believe, well, I do remember one time when we lived on Bethany Road, I was first really reading through the Bible, and God just illuminated it so beautifully. And I'm feeling that again. I've always enjoyed the Word, and you seem like each time you study, you get something you never did before. But this is a special time, a special anointing, a special move of the Spirit of God upon His Word and upon the hearts of people that will turn. And that's what repentance is. Turn to Him. And that First Peter, the first chapter, I highly recommend people reading it and praying it. 13th verse says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you pray that, Lord, help me to gird up the loins of my mind. Lord, I don't want my mind to go ever which way. I don't want to have anxiety and fears and all of these other thoughts. I want to believe what your promises say. I want to be sober. I don't want to be foolish. You know, I want to be focused on you, Lord. And all of these scriptures, they're so alive and so wonderful. And I just highly recommend people, wherever they're led to in the Word of God, stop as you're reading it and begin to pray that, because it is to you, it's to me, it's to all of those that the Lord will call. And, you know, today I was thinking about so many people that don't turn to God, and the Lord reminded me again of the thousands that he fed and he healed, the thousands. He had that big miracle in different times and fed them. And then when he said to go to the upper room to tarry in Jerusalem, it was 120 that actually followed him and followed his call. And I so want to be one of those, as Wild Bill said. I want to follow the Lord all the way. And I love him so much. He's so good. I thank him for convictions. Without them, I couldn't make it through a day. I praise him for those. They're personal. They're exactly what I need to maintain my balance in a world that is just going every which way. And I love him, and I thank you again for everything that y'all do to bring this, make it possible for us to have the program.
We love you so much, Blog Talk Mom, and appreciate you more than words could say.
And I enjoyed showing y'all off. Well, Bill.
Oh, I know he did too. I know he did. You just
that was fun. This is when Doorbells was here. I took her around, showed her off to people too. And I love my family. Was telling. Speaking to someone tonight about, I need to get ready for the program, for the Blog Talk program, and this lady in our church said, oh, I wish they could be closer. So they're so sweet.
Aww,
I do
so
too.
Sweet.
We'll have to have
it
sometime.
What?
I want to have a conference, so y'all come to it. We'll have one
here.
Oh,
that sounds fun. No, I was going to say, we always want our family to be close. You know, my brother once said, he said, what good is it to have a family if you can't be close? Why even have one? But I think, you know, he was just, you know, disappointed that we weren't all close. Because, I don't know, we just love our family. I think,
yeah, there's
the wonderful gift that God has given us is family.
Oh, it is. Doorbells can call, and it seems like it'll be just right at the time that I'll be reading and praying about some particular situation in her life and our life, and so we are connected. And I've talked to you and Wild Bill right at those times because we are spiritually connected, and then we'll get to spend eternity with each other. But it is, there's so many job situations, so many things that pull families apart now. Used to, I think that everybody pretty much stayed on a farm and, you know, whatever. But I do thank the Lord for phones and all the things that we have.
Yes.
So we can.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Well, we're looking forward to next week's show when we can hear, I guess we'll be hearing from Wild Bill and the message that he gave us last week. I don't know if it will be re-recorded or, you know, it's something he did live, but it was an awesome message. Man, I don't know what people were waiting for, just sitting around, I don't know. No, in the last days, God is going to let us know it's time to quit playing church.
That is so true. You know, sometimes people feel unworthy or they feel like, you know, they've just done so many bad things and so many sins. And I don't know what the scripture is, but to those that are forgiven, they love much. And so when you're forgiven and you feel that release as you turn to God and you just surrender and you feel that release of all of your sin, and it's just as if you had never sinned, and you are washed and your sins are remitted. And then, as Wild Bill was saying, you've got that intimate relationship with Almighty God. And you will love him and he will love you. There's nothing greater in this world than to fellowship with our God. And his wonderful name is Jesus. So I'm looking forward to next week. Thank you very much.
Well, we want to thank you all for listening and being with us here at your place. And we'll see you next week at your place. Good night.